Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this wonderful day, Lord, that you have given us. Thank you for a day that we can gather together and to study your holy word. Lord, we ask right now that as we open it, you would give us wisdom, clarity. We ask that these words would bring application to our lives. We know who you are. We know that you are working all things out for your name, for your glory. We know that you are holy. Lord, please bless our time together this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you would, remain standing for the reading of his word. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. If you're using a pew Bible, you can find that on page 61. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness or anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. May the Lord add his blessing to our time together this morning. Please be seated. So today we finish our study of Table 1. Table 1, Commandments 1 through 4. Our duties before the Lord. Our duties before the Lord. Commandment number 1, you shall have no other gods before me. So we are to worship the one true God. We are to worship the one true God. Commandment number 2. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. So we are to worship the Lord rightly. We are to worship the Lord rightly. Commandment 3, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So we are to worship the Lord reverently. We are to worship the Lord reverently. In commandment number 4 in Exodus 20, beginning in verse 8, we find, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So we are to worship the Lord regularly. We are to worship the Lord regularly. So we worship the Lord only. We worship the Lord rightly. We worship the Lord reverently, and we worship the Lord regularly. I studied last week that it would be wise for us to look at these commandments as the law of worship. As the law of worship. That we are to keep these laws not for outward appearances, not for the praise of men, but for the glory of God in our hearts. that we are to live according to the Lord's moral law that he has given us. Now, that these commandments that the law has breathed out, preserved for us, and written on our hearts, we should delight in these commandments. Because when we obey the law of the Lord, do we not enjoy him and glorify him? This commandment number 4, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, it is a highly debated commandment. We can agree that keeping the Sabbath command does not save anyone, but we must also agree that this is a command that the Lord has given to us, therefore it must not be ignored. On one side of the coin, you have brothers and sisters in Christ who are labeled as legalistic because of their view of this commandment. I do believe individuals can be legalistic about it, but I have never met a Christian who I would place in this category. The other side of that coin is a failure to keep the Sabbath day at all. Before you exclude yourself from this category, let me say this. If you think because you woke up this morning and you got your clothes on and you got in your car and you drove here and you've showed up for a worship service this morning that you kept the Sabbath day holy, I really hope you will listen to this message this morning. So let me begin by saying this. I do believe the Ten Commandments are to be obeyed today. I do not believe that 9 are binding and 1 is not. I believe all 10 are binding. If we are not to steal, we are to also not fail at keeping the Sabbath day holy. With this said, the elephant in the room must also be addressed. Many do not agree on how this commandment is to be obeyed, while many do not try to understand it, but choose to just ignore it altogether. My prayer has been that the Lord will use today's teaching for 4 main purposes. Purpose 1, that we would better understand commandment number 4, that we will better understand on how we are to keep this day holy unto the Lord. Purpose 2, that we will take this commandment seriously for the glory of God, that we will actually search the scriptures ourselves and know what we believe and why we believe what we believe concerning the Sabbath. Purpose 3, that we will have conversations with one another concerning this commandment for our edification and application. Not labeling others who are brothers and sisters in Christ who have different convictions, but loving and listening to their biblical convictions, knowing that all of us in this room, we have much to learn. Purpose 4. That we will make biblical changes in our lives as a result of better understanding this command. We must all agree that none of us have arrived. I'm often reminded as a pastor that I am not a professional. When I look when the Lord saved me and when I look when the Lord called me into ministry, I've also realized, I look back over past sermons, past teachings that I have taught and realized, oh my goodness, I can't believe people listen to those. None of us are professionals. We have much to learn. None of us have arrived, and changes include, but are not limited to, spiritual rest, physical rest, activities done, reverence for the Lord's day, and enjoyment of the Lord. I also believe that many Christians are spiritually weak because of their neglect of the Lord's day. I believe that the lives of many Christians are consumed with physical work and entertainment, with no real discipline of resting in the Lord at all. That if our Bible is the only time that we open it while we've gathered here on Sunday, we have not kept the Sabbath day holy. Let us keep these 4 purposes in mind: a better understanding, taking it seriously, conversations for edification, and biblical change in the lives for the glory of God. Let us be reminded of the words of Christ out of Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So Christ came and he has given us greater clarity, the true intent of the law, pointing to him in all of his promises. The Sabbath was not and is not to be man-made burdens. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 8, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." So yes, we are under the new covenant, but the law has not been abolished, and Jesus Christ remains Lord of the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Truth number one, the Sabbath is a command and a creation ordinance. The Sabbath is a command and a creation ordinance. Exodus 20, verse 8, is not the first time that we find the word Sabbath. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." So when God finished his work that he had done, he rested from all his work that he had done. God does not change, therefore we know that God was not tired. The Lord rested on the seventh day and made this day holy because he modeled for us a pattern of labor and rest. The argument can also be made from Genesis chapter 2 that there are no words and there was evening and morning as there were on the other 6 days, implying that this day continues for all time. The Sabbath is a command and it transcends the Mosaic law. It is a creation ordinance. Now, this day was not just for Israel, but for all of creation built into the creation order. So we have been given a pattern for life and for worship. We have been given one day in seven in which we are to rest and be reminded of who made all things, the Lord. When you look at the Lord's people from creation forward, we see a day of rest that had been given. All were to work and labor hard for 6 days. But one day was set aside in which all were to rest from their work as the Lord did from the work of creating. They were to think upon the Lord and trust him to provide for them. So please join me in Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, as we look at what was spoken before Mount Sinai and the giving of the Decalogue. Exodus chapter 16. Beginning in verse 23, we find Moses is speaking to Israel. Exodus 16, verse 23. "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning." So they laid it aside till the morning as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there was no worms in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none." On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather. I love reading that. I'm reminded of my own life. Hey, don't do this immediately. Oh, people did it. On the seventh day, some of the people went out together, but they found none, just as the Lord had said. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. So it was to be a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. 6 days you work, but gather not on the Sabbath. And then in Exodus 16, verse 27, You find on the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. So they disobeyed the command. They were commanded to rest, and some went to gather. And the Lord responded to their wicked rebellion by saying, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath." So when the Lord gave the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, what do we see? He says, remember the Sabbath day. This means put it into practice. Specifically here in this context, put into practice what you have been taught. Celebrate the Sabbath, you are free. You must remember the context here. Think about when the Decalogue was given. All have been released from slavery. What a joy it would have been to hear, "I want you to remember the Sabbath. I want you to remember creation and who made all that you see. Remember who brought you out of Egypt. Remember who brought you to this land. All I want you to do is to remember who released you from the bondage of slavery. Take one day in seven, rest, and I will provide for you." This would have been a major blessing. Because what they had been doing is working for so long and providing everything for everybody else. Now they're saying, take one day in seven and rest, and I will provide for you. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 12, we find, 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your servant woman and the alien may be refreshed. So the Sabbath was to be used to be refreshed, stopped working, and take a breather. Sit a while, do not labor of your regular work, and trust the Lord to provide. In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3, we find that the Sabbath was also a day of worship. It says, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. A holy convocation. Clearly, it was rest and a day of praise to the Lord. Kevin DeYoung said, "We rest so that we might be free to worship God. And we give God worship in part by trusting Him enough to rest." So the Sabbath is a command and a creation ordinance, and we are to rest and to worship the Lord on the Sabbath day. I know that many have objections to this based on the commands of the Old Testament were given to the Jews only. And I would agree that laws that were given to them that were based on their circumstances have passed away when the Mosaic economy was abolished. But the Ten Commandments are founded on the unchanging nature of God. The Ten Commandments are founded on who God is, the God who does not change. So point number two, the model and teaching of Jesus Christ concerning the Sabbath. The model and teaching of Jesus Christ concerning the Sabbath. Jesus was not silent about the Sabbath, and neither were his enemies. But one thing is for certain, Jesus never violated the Sabbath. He did, however, correct misunderstandings that were believed concerning the Sabbath. So in the New Testament, we find six accounts where Jesus entered into controversy over the Sabbath, and I would like us to look at those six together. So account number one, if you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Encounter one, Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So we find that it's okay to gather food and eat on the Sabbath. Work was approved to eat. Jesus and his disciples, they were guiltless, and he condemns the Pharisees for all of their man-made restrictions, as well as minimizing rest and turning the Sabbath into something that it was not. The Sabbath had become a burden while it was meant to be a blessing. Jesus also informed them that he, the Son of Man, is Lord of the Sabbath, that he has the authority, that he is the mediator. The Mark 2 version of this encounter adds these words: the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now, this verse does not mean that we can use the Sabbath or misuse the Sabbath as we see fit. It does, however, inform us that the Sabbath is a gift and blessing for man. The Sabbath was made for man. Notice that Jesus did not say that the Sabbath was made for Israel. Encounter 2, we find in Matthew chapter 12, verse 9. Matthew chapter 12, verse 9. It says, he went on from there, entered their synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And he asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? So they might accuse him. He said, which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched it out, and it was restored healthy like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. So Jesus healed on the Sabbath. Acts of mercy are allowed on the Sabbath. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. The Pharisees wanted to kill Christ because they had hundreds of man-made rules concerning the Sabbath that Jesus did not follow. The Lord of the Sabbath did not keep their man-made rules. Why? He is Lord. Encounter number 3, Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman who had had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, woman, you are freed from your disability. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus he had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, there are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Then the Lord answered him, you hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? You ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from the bond of the Sabbath day? As he said these things, all of his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by Christ. So works of mercy are allowed on the Sabbath. Jesus had compassion on a woman and many others, and he healed them. And specifically, this woman, she glorified God because of it. Encounter number 4, we find in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, we see that the Sabbath can be viewed and applied wrongly, just like anything else, if not handled with great care. In Luke 14, verse 1, one Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. That's massive swelling. Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent. When he took him and healed him and sent him away, and he said to them, which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out? And they could not reply to these things. in encounter 5. That's in John chapter 5. Jesus healed a disabled man. Jesus worked and healed on the Sabbath. In encounter 6, in John chapter 9, Jesus healed a man born blind on the Sabbath. He gave the man the gift of sight for the glory of God. You remember this encounter where the disciples, why was this man born blind? The sin of his parents or his sin? He said neither. He was born blind for the glory of God. One thing is clear in all these encounters, Jesus does not give a list of what cannot be done on the Sabbath. He does not do what the Pharisees did. He does not do what the Pharisees did. We are to rest on the Sabbath. We are to worship on the Sabbath. And acts of mercy are clearly allowed on the Sabbath. Point number 3, the early church. The early church. Many also hold that there is no Sabbath day because the original Sabbath was on Saturday, and we have no specific wording that we are to gather and worship the Lord on Sunday. Passages such as Romans 14, Galatians 4, Colossians 2 are brought up. But before we look at these passages, I want us to look at the early church and see what the early church did. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, we find, on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day. And he prolonged his speech until midnight. So believers gathered on the first day of the week, Sunday, for worship, remembering and celebrating the resurrection of Christ. The first day of the week is when Christ rose from the dead, also known as the Lord's Day. So in the New Testament, after the resurrection of Christ, believers gathered on the first day of the week. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning in verse 1, we find, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper, so there will be no collecting when I come." So in the early church, the first day of the week, Sunday, became the Lord's Day, the day of worship. So let us be reminded of this glorious day, the day in which the resurrected Lord met with his disciples, John chapter 20, verse 19. On that evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And then in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, John places emphasis on the Lord's Day. He says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet." Now, with this pattern of Sunday worship, let's look at the passages that are frequently brought up. If you'll turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 16. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Paul is speaking to the church of Colossae, and he says, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." Now, at this point in time, there were many Sabbaths that were being done, many festivals, many Sabbath moons, new moons, when festivals being had. But in this passage, we see that some were placing bondage on people, not having their substance as Christ. So legalistic demands were being placed on some within the church. The shadow of things refers to the substance, that the Sabbath as observed for Israel always pointed to Christ. In Romans chapter 14, this is area number 2, Romans chapter 14 beginning in verse 5, Paul again says, "One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes this day, observe it in honor to the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor to the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor to the Lord and gives thanks to God." As in Colossians, both passages seem to discuss the observance of days concerning the eating of food and or the fasting from food. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 10, Paul was even more vocal concerning this. He says, "You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid I may have labored over you in vain." So the shadow of what the Israel Sabbath was made clear that the substance of the Sabbath was all about Jesus Christ. Circumcision was now baptism. Passover was now the Lord's Supper. And Israel's Sabbath was now the Lord's day. So the command of one day in seven still stands. J. Dumas said, "We can say that in Christ all days are holy, while Sunday is still a special feast day for celebrating everything that we possess in Christ." Point number four, observing the Sabbath or the Lord's Day under the New Covenant. Observing the Sabbath or the Lord's Day under the New Covenant. We would all agree that we are commanded to gather together and worship. This is something that we should have as a priority in our lives and not neglect that. And especially for all the parents whom still have children in their home, please think about what you are modeling for them as what is most important, especially on the day of worship. Whether we come and go and we show up and we worship, and then the majority of our day is spent doing something else. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So all Christians should be members of a local church. All should be involved in the celebration of the ordinances. All should be using their gifts for the glory of God and the edification of the saints, stirring up one another to love and to good works, and all should be obedient in fulfilling the Great Commission together as a church. And we should not neglect to gather together. This should not be the habit that we have in our lives. The Lord's flock needs to be fed the Word of God, and the Lord's flock needs the body of Christ. Hebrews chapter 4 informs us of our need of a Sabbath rest. If you will, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. I will remind you that this letter, Hebrews, is all about the supremacy of Christ. He is supreme. There is no one greater, nothing greater. "Therefore, while the promise of hearing his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, 'As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.' Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken somewhere of the seventh day in his way. A God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in his passage he said, 'And they shall not enter my rest.' Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day. Today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.' For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." So ultimate rest is found in Jesus Christ alone. The Old Testament Sabbath was in fact pointing to Christ and ultimately to what is to come, which is an eternal Sabbath for the people of God in heaven. William Lane said, "The ministry of Jesus in the heavenly sanctuary as a faithful high priest in the service of God gives certainty to the promise that God's people will celebrate the Sabbath in his presence if they hold fast their initial confidence." So the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, is to be observed and is observed in Christ. Christ is the substance. So this day is to be a day of rest from our normal work. This day is a reminder of the Lord who created all things. It's pointing back to creation. This day is a symbol of God's sovereignty as we worship him. The fact that we can have a day where we do not work and the Lord will provide for us. This day is a reminder of our redemption, that we rest in the accomplished work of Christ, that it is in Christ that we find our joy. This day exposes our sin and reveals our forever need of Christ, that we are not to neglect in gathering together for worship on this day. This day is a blessing. It is not a burden. This day points to our forever and eternal Sabbath that is coming, when we will be with Christ in heaven for all of eternity. We should not ask for a list of things in which we cannot do. This is legalism. We don't do this with the other 9 commandments. Why would we do it with this one? What can I do but still not kill a person? What can I do but still have other gods? We don't ask those things. We should prepare our hearts, because this day is important, the Lord's Day. That if we don't have time to meditate upon the Lord on the Lord's Day, then this day is being used wrongly by us. If we leave here and we don't have time to think about the Lord and his word that we have heard, if we don't have time to think about what we discussed in missional groups, if we don't have time to pray and to read our Bible, we're using the day wrongly, period. It's being used wrongly. Charles Hodge said, "All men need to be arrested in their worldly career and called upon to pause and to turn their thoughts Godward. It is of incalculable importance that men should have time and opportunity for religious instruction and worship. That our minds need a break from the other 6 days, that we need to spiritually rest in the Lord, and we need physical rest from the daily task of the other 6 days. What we need to be asking is, am I worshiping the Lord? Am I resting in Christ? Is the day belong to the Lord, or does it not?" See, the Lord has graciously given us one full day, a holy day that is to be used differently than the other 6 days. So what we have been given by the Lord is for his glory and our good, to cease from the daily routines of labor. So when I look at the Lord's Day, I look as a huge blessing that God has given to us, that we rest in who he is. We rest in what Christ has given us. We remember creation and the model that he has set before us, and we worship the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for your most holy word. Thank you for the blessing of the Sabbath. Thank you for redemption that is found in your Son, Jesus Christ, for his teachings that he has given to us. Thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit, who seals us for the day of redemption and leads us into all truth. Lord, may we be obedient to rest from all of our labors and to rest in your Son, Christ. May we strive to worship you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength by seeking to apply your holy word to our lives. Lord, forgive us when we have used this day to prepare for the next. Forgive us when we have not rested in you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and ask all these things. Amen. I ask that you use this time of silence and reflection to meet with the Lord, to confess your sins, and to prepare your hearts for the taking of the Lord's table this morning. And I also ask that if you have any questions about the gospel or salvation, that you would talk to somebody before you leave. But meet with the Lord right now and prepare your hearts for the taking of his table.